Hi, Horror Hive. It's Wheezy. This is for our Atlanta Hive. I am going to be there next Monday, June 7th, doing a watch party at the Plaza Theater for Sex Sells. You can watch my brand new TV show with me. I am so excited. I've never even seen the episode we're going to watch together, and stay for some live Q&A after the watch party, 8 p.m. June 7th. Click the link in the description of this episode for tickets, and or just click on my IG, WheezyWTF. The link will be in the bio. I love you, and I can't wait to see you there. Enjoy this fun-ass episode with Ebony the Queen Williams.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision. Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. I am your host, Mandy B, sitting next to Wheezy, WTF.
Legal and we are here. Decisions.
So stupid.
Look, okay, love it. Y'all, we got a guest today, and I'm super excited that she finally came and joined us. Yes, with the wave.
From like, holding court, but in this outfit, she's holding cooch.
Wow.
And saving it.
Little cooch pet.
She's saving it for Mary.
We would love to give a warm welcome, y'all, to our guest today, Miss Ebony K. Williams.
What's up, Queens?
No, we ain't got the sound effects, but yeah, clap it up. I'm so excited for you to finally join us.
And me also, too.
It's been months you were supposed to come on.
This took too long.
This took a long time, bitch. Ain't nobody tell you to be in Miami forever.
That's true.
I do want to say, you know, as far as your branding, when we got the email from Dolly that was like, Ebony wants to come on the show, I was like, Ebony, is there another Ebony?
Really? No, but I've been stalking Mandy in her DMs.
I genuinely was surprised. But you know what? I guess it's what you think people are on Instagram, right? Right? For example, I'm always giving
those books and those covers, Wheezy. You know about those books and those covers.
I was just like, damn, what we gonna say when she...
Oh, I'm not gonna lie.
Y'all sent me that dry ass rundown.
Bitch, I did the outline because I was like, you know, like certain people, we still want them to feel comfortable, even though we will make you feel uncomfortable. I was like, okay, well, here's the way we're gonna go about this so that I don't have to ask Ebony if she eats ass or lick toes. Which one do you do? You know, I just wanted to...
But also, if you had to pick, would you rather eat ass or suck toes?
Suck toes, definitely.
Really?
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't, look.
Yeah. That doesn't even feel hard to me. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have a foot, like men feet would go
feet
in your mouth?
I'm trying to think. I would prefer that they both would be washed. I was going to say, I'm presuming either the anus the toes are washed.
You said man toes.
Man toes is different than bitch toes.
I will say, you do give hetero, but you give me, I made out with a girl in college.
For sure. But also, a lot of people told me that I was giving them power lesbian.
Oh.
You guys don't get any power lesbian from me? I mean, I'm not. No, shout out to the whole LGBTQ community. Love y'all. But a lot of people get super power lesbian from
me. I mean, that's just strong women. They don't know what to
do. It's even like how she's sitting down.
It's just demeanor with dominant women.
She ain't sitting down like us? Hold on, I look like
a lesbian. Now, look at that cross.
You actually look like a relaxed lesbian. I'm just kidding.
Not a relaxed.
You look like a pillow princess.
Crazy. I actually don't really care for heads, so I'm the one who eats everyone in the bed. Whether it's
you're a worker bee.
Yes,
you're a worker bee.
That is actually me. I'm never a pillow princess. I do want to say, I am.
How did we go here already? By the way,
welcome to Horrible Decisions.
Welcome to Horrible Decisions.
I do want to say, however, I am a little envious of you. And y'all, before the cameras cut on, I was like, I'm so jealous, Ebony. You just look like a wife, and me and Wheezy just look like hoes. Even though Wheezy swears she don't really look like a hoe, she thinks she look wifey material. But then you come in, and we're like, no, we look like the hoes, and you look like no.
Have either of y'all been married?
Hell
no. Girl, no, that's not.
Okay, so no. So I'm going to share you. I think I'm older a little bit than both of you. So let Auntie E give y'all some real gems. I have been, shut the fuck up, Mandy. So I have a ring pop. I did Z-Way's show. Shout out to Z-Way, her new Showtime show at 9 p.m. on Showtime. Okay. She gave us ring pops in her swag bag.
I love that.
So I have a ring pop for you, sis.
Okay.
Not a ring pop.
Consider yourself chosen
to me.
She proposed with a ring pop ring. Y'all know about that Kelly Price? Yeah, better get on.
But she want to say we auntie age.
No, I'm auntie age.
No, she says we are.
Y'all are definitely, if y'all don't know about that Kelly Price, he proposed to me.
Maybe you weren't in the right cadence.
I can't sing.
Okay.
But you ain't have to do me like that, Mandy. So anyway, back to what wives and what hoes look like.
By the way, just relax. Because you ain't got to talk into the mic. You
have, oh, I
you,
don't have to?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. You have good. A good voice.
I mean, hey, I mean, look.
Yeah.
Also, and we don't like to eat a mic. Also, high quality. Come join us at also, WTF Media Studios.
Also, okay, we right. got Eden in the back making wow, sure y'all wow, sound good wow, at all times.
Wow. Okay. You know, it's a little different setup. Okay. So, I was briefly married in my late 20s. Don't worry about it. In and out within a year. I call it my starter marriage. This is what I will start for sure. Any successful marriage requires, I believe from my experience, a lot of sex. So if you are projecting an aesthetic, ladies, please pay attention, that says that you are skimmish about sex, prudish about sex, you actually are not looking to be a wife. You are looking to be a old maid. So just get that out of your mind. Okay. I think there's a misconception at a certain... I think it's also generational.
Okay.
I think it's like when you're young, you think that like, oh, let me look buttoned up and polished and all that shit to look wifey. No, men want their wives to fuck them. That is like a part from wifely duties.
Right.
It's a part of it. Don't ever, ever, ever stop having sex in your marriage.
Okay, so let me ask you then why you think... And of course, I already had the conversation where I believe Steve Harvey ruined dating for a lot of our generation in saying that in order to be seen as wifey material or girlfriend material even, you should hold out and not have sex. But you're saying the complete opposite. And as a woman, so I want to know...
I think it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. I think what I got from Steve Harvey... And I don't think anybody in here like takes advice from Steve Harvey. Let's be clear.
You think they don't?
I said in here.
Oh, in here.
Yeah, yeah, here.
I thought you were saying, let's be clear.
With good sense. With good sense
people,
in here.
I think no, really believe in that man.
I think
man.
It's not, I don't believe in sex without monogamy. But once I decide I want to be monogamous with you. So it's a double standard.
Oh.
So wait, this is, I'll oh, give wait, you this yeah. story.
Okay.
So this was with my ex-fiance.
I think this is all of us though. You my man now. Because I said it.
No, listen. This is a true story. I've told this story, I think, one other time in public. But I don't think anybody heard it. So here we go.
Oh, everybody going to hear it now.
Everybody's going to hear it now. So we had been dating maybe 2 months. We had probably gone on 6 or 7 actual dates, like dinners, Knicks games. It was cool. It was a vibe.
Oh, he had money. Okay.
So I wasn't sure if there was a lot of physical attraction until date 3 or 4. And then we started kissing. I'm like, okay, maybe sometime. So fast forward to date number 7. I then decided that I needed to figure out what the sex was going to be like. Because I don't want to fall in love with somebody I'm not sexually compatible with. Like, that is a tragedy.
Yes.
A horrific one. So... I was like,
horrific,
okay.
With an H, not whore.
With a hard H. Horrific.
Horrific.
So we do the deed. It was great.
Do the deed. All right. Ebony.
Like a legal
fucked.
Deed.
You fucked.
Like a legal deed. Thank you, Weezy. We executed a deed. No.
Look at me trying to do all my like little.
We did the thing. We had our little sexcapade. And it was absolutely good, only to get better. Because that's my experience. I think if the sex starts good, it's going to only go to great. I've never had a sexual experience where we regressed. Like we always.
Bitch, I have.
Really?
To where I started having to tell him the sex ain't even good. Clearly, I like you because your sex is not given what it was given.
What it was given.
What it was given.
Because sometimes people get lazy. Women do too.
Women do too.
Think about it. How many guy friends we've had, or someone who's like, oh, she don't do this for me anymore. Oh.
I mean, I'm not gonna
tell you one thing. I don't do. I don't be putting on makeup like I used to.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go from licking the balls to then saying, I'm not going to lick the balls anymore.
Yeah, I think that's false advertising. I don't believe in that. Whatever I start, in fact, I start at a lower quadrant of activity.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, do you give A game and then...
Because as women, we expect A game from men, but you're saying your first
I'm
going to
start with a C game. I'm not really, no.
You have C game?
Work your way up to that. Because by C game.
So you saying you don't even suck dick then?
Not on the first. Not the first time we sleep together. No,
you don't.
No.
Oh
no,
bitch! I got to go 3,000 off the rip.
But she gonna suck toes though.
Do you expect to get eaten out on the first time?
Not necessarily. I feel like most guys do that though to like get you to have sex.
Because we expect them to have a game.
Okay, so back to the story, y'all.
Okay.
These are good intermediate questions.
We're back. We're back with this.
Back to the story. So we have sex. We fuck. You good, Mandy?
Yes, bitch. Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Now I'm getting hot over here.
And then I'm like, so by the way, if you ever want to do that again, which I also enjoyed, he was still like finishing. So he was just like really like on one. I was like, we go together. Period. Point blank. End of story. We go together. We're an exclusive monogamous relationship. Otherwise, continue to see other people, and I can too, but then that part of our relationship is not going to be on the table. And that's how we ended up in a relationship.
That's how you began rings, bitch. Damn, I need... Can I
see, we gotta stop sucking dick. So
damn. Wait. So real quick, I do
want
to.
But that's
so,
if you want a monogamous relationship. Everybody's not looking for that.
I want. Right. I want a monogamous.
Now, we non-monogamous hoes, like, we just want
now, that nigga to know. Now, I say I want a husband. I just also want a wifey on the side and a little other hoe on the side, but commitment, but also, like...
I want commitment.
But I also, want my babies, but, like, maybe if I want to fuck somebody else one day, I could.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, people have whole marriages like that. You whole guys marriages are talking is about
what
negotiating.
I want. We want whole marriages.
Oh,
is
I
what
said
we want.
Whole, but whole marriages as well. Y'all are hilarious. You negotiate the terms of your marriage. I mean, I feel like we hear about that a lot now in Hollywood, especially.
Hell
and this
yeah.
is going on in bedrooms across America. So
I was just going to say, shout out Will Smith and Jada.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Shout out Will Smith and Jada.
Do you ever work on prenups?
I have.
Wait, bitch, we're not there yet. I guess we'll do it now.
Yeah, I wanted to just ask the question. Like
family law, so yes.
Have people ever had in a prenup something that had to do with
sex?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
People, you can put mm-hmm. terms in about maintaining the type of sex is what I've most frequently seen. Like, kind of to y'all's point, making sure that oral sex is a consistent, regular part
what?
Of the sexual
wait,
activity.
Me?
And if
it is it not...
There can be a financial consequence. Absolutely.
Get oh, the fuck
I've
out
seen,
of here.
Oh, absolutely. Because it could be considered a breach of your agreement.
So, and here's the thing. I'm glad that Weezy actually brought it up because I did want to say that this has been a conversation mm-hmm. to where across my friends with my relationship now, if marriage is ever on the table, mm-hmm. my partner has to sign a prenup. At this
absolutely.
Point with seeing like Weezy and I don't have a cap at all with what we can
it's
see.
It's going to be horrible plus three.
Yeah, no.
Y'all going straight to the top. And, you're already almost there. So,
and
yeah.
so I want
to
ask you, how often do you see women doing the prenup to protect themselves? Because normally we hear about the men wanting to
right.
protect their assets and feel as though women are the gold diggers.
Yeah.
How often do women actually give
I
the prenup?
I think it's generationally shifting fast, y'all. Most every prenup I have done have been for women and women of color. Mostly black women. I'll just say it plain.
Because we don't fuck around?
Because we're not fucking around. We work really hard. One thing we're going to do is we're going to go to fucking school. We're going to go to school and we're going to vote. Black women going to do that shit. And we own homes at a higher level. We just are acquiring wealth at a different level than our brothers. And I want to close that wealth gap, you know, for our black brothers as well. But yeah, I just believe everybody should get a prenup. I really do.
And by the way, guys, I know we did an awful job. We kind of gave Ebony the arrogant Weezy intro by just saying Ebony
oh,
K.
Whatever.
Williams.
No, but it's fine.
It was a joke on another episode. Weezy yeah. just knows she is that bitch now. So she said,
I did not.
She said, Google me.
Y'all no, did, I y'all did know. Not. I was playing. I ain't got a Wikipedia yet.
Well, what I love about this conversation, for those so of you who are not familiar with Ebony K. Williams, I just want to run down real quick. She is our sister on the Black Effect Woo-hoo. Network. And her co-host is,
the
y'all
great
know,
Dustin
our
Ross.
Bestie over
Some
here.
Of fine.
So fine. So Dustin is her co-host with on the podcast, Holding Court. You guys may have also seen her on Revolt's State of the Culture.
Mm-hmm.
And
I forgot about that.
Yes, she came in. She came in good. I don't know when it's coming back, but I don't know. Anyway,
no, not that I didn't know about it, of course. If I had a name who was on it, I would have said,
I'll be honest, that's kind of our a little bit connection because yeah. Ebony is the only person that I know in this industry to work as well with Joe and Charlamagne almost coincidentally. And so that's kind of where mm-hmm. I was like, oh my
we
God, girl, you're my, like, you're the only person to ever be
big
in
energy.
Huge energy.
Big
and
energy.
A lot going on.
I just want to say, Charlamagne is our partner and I never hear him complain, talk shit about Joe. I really feel like he doesn't give a fuck.
It's not that. It's just more of
but
the
it ain't no
public
ops for
thing.
Us.
No, it's not ops.
Because on the Really Idiots, people acted like it was the ops. Like, oh, who I work with, Charlamagne is up there doing his shit. I don't even want to act like that's a
well,
thing.
Well, no, I think it's just the people around us. No, that's not what we're doing.
It's people that say
it's
that.
People,
working with
course.
Both of them. We don't even need to mention working with both of them. Like,
Well, me and Ebony do.
Yeah.
And then
people
I,
ask.
People ask all the time.
They shouldn't.
And then I do want to say as well, for those of you who are stans like myself, Miss Ebony K. Williams is the first black castmate on The Real Housewives of That of New York City.
Long ass show.
Yeah.
You know, I just started watching it during quarantine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love to do, you know, the voices, okay? Because me and Mario, when we're playing tennis.
You know,
but.
That's good.
So, when I first started watching, so I was living in Mexico last year, and the only things that I could watch were very old episodes of Real Housewives that were in English.
Okay.
So. I live in LES, and when I saw, I was like, Jill Zarin? That's yeah.
Oh, you saw Zarin Fabrics?
Yes. Yeah. So I'd be walking by like, damn, I'm going to just buy some pillows and drapes just so I can see you. Like, it was so exciting. But, you know, I fell out of Housewives, and
not me.
You know when you stop watching a show, you kind of don't realize the impact.
I hope y'all fall back in. Come on.
Oh, now I am.
I need y'all.
It's not y'all, sis. Because, baby, I stand. I do my own town halls with the Patreon.
Oh,
I am a super huge
Housewives. But there's moments you fall in and out of show. Even people with the podcast, sometimes they'll stop, they jump back. Like, it happens when you have something so long running. And just the excitement, I think, and love that people have shown you, Ebony, has made me so excited.
Oh, good.
Especially Leah, like... We're all so happy to like see this happen. And especially because in Atlanta, we watched Black Girls for years. And
And Potomac, shout out.
Yeah.
And it's like, how the fuck?
Married to Medicine.
All of the amazing Black women in New York, and we just got it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, look. Keep watching. Shout out to that.
Yeah.
But I did real quick, before we get into our vanilla shit, I did just want to do a quick icebreaker. And even though we kind of broke the ice real quick already, these are really quick would you rathers.
Okay.
And Weezy, I would love your answers on these as well. Real quick, this is relationship edition, guys.
Good.
Would you rather tell the truth and hurt your partner or lie and not hurt your partner?
Truth. Oh, tell the truth and hurt my partner. I'm notorious for hard truths.
Ooh.
In general. Friends, mama, partner, don't matter.
She said,
what you be telling people? You going to jail.
No, but, and how much time can you do? And you should consider that before you do.
Oh, wait, I didn't let y'all know that.
How do you warn people before the crime?
Huh?
How do you?
Well, because unfortunately, a lot of my clients are repeat offenders. Sorry, Weezy.
Oh.
I don't know what y'all know about that life, but.
Yeah, I know. I dated
a
felon.
Yeah.
And he got locked right back up because he violated parole.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I can't even get you a good damn deal before you fucking up again. Go ahead, though.
By the way, what is your title? Because that is what we're going to get into as well. You are a.
Is it an Esquire?
Yes. So I am Ebony K. Williams Esquire, which means I'm a licensed attorney in the state of North Carolina, still licensed to practice. And I'm an attorney, but I'm no longer I haven't practiced in, about 9-10 years.
She doesn't know the law, y'all. Just like we know how to suck dick. All right. So the next one.
And no one said I don't know how to do that either.
Ooh.
Hey.
Bravo.
No fun.
You just ain't getting it off the first date. Okay.
Right.
Next one. Would you rather your parents not like your partner or your friends not like your partner?
For my case, my parents, only because God knows I love Gloria, but she's in New Orleans and she's not somebody that has to interface with us.
Okay.
On a routine basis.
Okay.
So it's not.
What about you? Because I know you love your mama, and your mama will tell. I don't like this man.
I was gonna say I hate when my friends don't like somebody, but my mom would be hard.
Your mom.
My mom is very, very rude and petty when she doesn't like someone.
Oh.
And I've experienced it. Like when I was dating Jeeves, I dated this white guy, and he was very artsy, Williamsburg-y guy. And my mom...
With a dick the size of a forearm, apparently.
It was crazy.
Oh, yeah, like a baby's arm.
I feel like.
Yeah.
And
I
down
was like,
to his
ew,
knees.
It's white.
And he... my mom, we're at dinner,
okay,
right?
Candace.
He takes us out to this place, and my mom has been just weighed on hand and foot by men I've been with, right? She's used to me being with affluent men. And even not affluent men, like, this is what I do for my mother, right? Mm-hmm. We're doing Michelin stars. We're doing 10-course meals.
Of course, right.
So we go to this restaurant.
Like the
and my
she
mom
is.
Says, yeah. And so you live in New York? You're staying in New York? He goes, yeah. She was like, okay, and how long do you think this is going to go on? Because,
She denied.
Yes, she did. She said, you know, she said.
Because he was artsy, which means his money
wasn't
long.
My mom's a little
long.
Broke. Yeah,
his
I don't date
long.
Creatives like that either.
Oh, shit.
Oh, now, for me, I'm into that sometimes.
I'm not
right?
supposed to say that, Mandy.
No, you can say that because, I mean, it's cool.
They see your outfit. They get it.
I'm an old bitch, too, at this point. Like, I mean, my first husband was a creative. I used to only...
Husband.
Yeah.
But she was basically like, you know... So we went to the next club. I wanted to take them to Tao. And my mom said, and is this the place you would want to go? Because, you know, I see what your vibe is.
Your mom is hysterical.
Sure. Oh, my mom is
you
such
have
a...
To meet Ms.
My mom would be Real Housewife, first black girl she could. My mom
right,
was one of the first black women to get into Studio 54, and she'll let you know it.
I kind of want to hang out with her right now.
She's a trip.
I took her to the Public Hotel. Let me tell you how bougie my mom is. This is where I get it from. Ian Schrager designed that, right? And so somebody was trying to tell her who he was. This white waitress. My mom said, honey... I've done this before. I've partied with him. I know who he is. I've opened. I understand this. I don't need you to tell me
right.
where I am. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Kind of like somebody tried to tell me about Sag Harbor.
Ooh.
Did y'all see? Oh, y'all got to watch the episode. Y'all got to watch Housewives. Go ahead, though. Okay, go ahead.
Next one.
Either or.
No,
next one. Last one. It's Would good. You rather good. Make love 3 times a day for a month or not make love for a month?
Oh, no. 3 times a day is fine. In the beginning, that's great. Yeah.
3 times a day
for a month.
Month?
I can hang, I believe.
Oh, I know I can't.
I told or not do it at all? No, I'll
about to say, work bitch, on my cardio. I done went 10 times in one morning and still was like, you coming over tomorrow?
That's 90 times in a month.
That's a lot, but the alternative is nothing.
How long is, what's hold the expectation on, hold on. For like let the me, length
I just want to make sure she
though. That's a great question, too. No one says it has to be till completion.
No one says she has to come.
Yeah.
Look at us making up the rules. Mandy wrote this little bullshit. Right. So can we?
It could be three pumps and out. I mean, that's
I was going to say, that is not on, sex. If it's full on sex, it says, I would actually say real quick, no sex
real
for a
quick,
month.
Actually, it doesn't say sex. It says make love. When it's making love, that's a lot of intimacy. No, it's not just three strokes. That's fucking.
I barely eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Nope.
No,
I actually. But you know how
I would make that. I feel like I could. I'm up for a challenge. I would.
My
try to
man
make
goes three times every time, regardless. So,
but
I
that's
feel like,
different because you have a round within like a session. Three separate times in my head is like in the morning.
But nobody said that. It could be two times.
You
over here
making
rules.
All these. You making it complicated.
It could be back to back.
Where did the rule come from?
Okay, next.
It came from Google. next is our vanilla shit. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, vanilla shit is sex in the news, and this is something that. Maybe you guys have been aware of already, but I wanted to save it specifically to talk with Ebony about.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is just it. Because Weez and I ain't lawyers, bitch. I mean, I got two bachelors. That's about it.
Okay, light flex.
You know, this,
let the people know.
She couldn't wait to tell us that.
I love it, girl. Bitch, I love it.
As you know,
stand.
I come from corporate. I have two. Bitch, I came from corporate too. I just climbed to the top without.
Okay,
me.
Well, bitch, I got my little papers too.
You got.
And I
papers.
Just figured out where I was gonna hang them in
as
my
Dr.
house.
Dr. Umar would say, "Why do both of y'all need white man's paperwork?
Is this what we doing?
Go get you an honorary doctor, you, like I our done, brother Sean.
I done told you, Dr. Umar ain't even a doctor, bro.
Dog.
And I don't side with that motherfucking nigga, bro. That's it. Anywho.
I love me some Dr. Umar.
Oh my God, y'all are wallet. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wait, is that your friend?
She's no, like, girl. Oh, bye.
She's thank
like,
you.
Y'all know like that's not my brand.
Okay, so the vanilla.
No, that's y'all. Y'all got this little narrow ass brand for me. Go ahead.
You know what? It's your Instagram.
Well, it's about to. Expand.
Oh, bitch, you a Fenty ambassador? We gonna see you in some lingerie, bitch.
Well, yeah, lingerie. I just sent you the Essence article. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, this is the first time my personal life is being discussed, which I
love it. We're gonna get there,
we'll
y'all.
We'll get to it. We're gonna get there, y'all.
So, I did want to have the conversation again. As some of you guys may know, they legalized or decriminalized. I want to know the difference
partially
between those two as well. Partially,
yes.
Prostitution in New York.
Yes.
So we've talked about prostitution being legal in places like Nevada,
mm-hmm.
Where there's brothels and things like that. However, before we get into this, what is the difference between legalization and decriminalization?
Mm.
Because I feel like that's what I've been reading in the article, and they go back and forth, and I'm not sure if they mean the same thing at all.
Yeah, they really do, but it's like semantics, right? So when somebody says it's been decriminalized, like we're hearing that about marijuana recently,
yes.
right? So that means what used to be deemed statutorily on the record books as a violation of law is no longer deemed such. Now, I want to be careful here when we talk about this new semi-partial decriminalization of prostitution because it's not statutory yet, y'all.
Okay.
So people
wait,
still
wait,
need
statutory,
to.
What that
okay,
mean?
So that means
we
the
statute?
Right. Okay. I feel like we're about to go to Schoolhouse Rock right quick.
The only time I've ever heard that term was statutory
rape. That's
okay.
The only
and
time
that,
I've heard it as
okay,
well.
Okay. So think about it. So let's use our context clues, right?
Come on.
So statutory rape normally refers to when you've not been forcibly raped, it's a consensual sexual act. But it's deemed statutory
because
rape
of
because of the age on the book. So it's by the letter of the law, it's deemed illegal. Not necessarily that. All right. So let's go back to statutory prostitution. On the books, it is still very much illegal to have any exchange of money or commerce for consensual or non-consensual sex acts. So that's important. And I want everybody listening, y'all. That's why a lot of these organizations and coalitions around truly fully decriminalizing sex work and prostitution and solicitation are still aggressive, despite this new policy.
Okay.
See, now we're talking about a policy that this particular district attorney, Cy Vance, in Manhattan, he's just decided not to prosecute. Does that see the difference?
Got you.
So the law is still on the books. But it is still illegal.
But you can't go to jail for it.
Only because he is just choosing. See what I'm saying? Now we're talking about prosecutorial discretion. So that means once he's out of office, because Cy Vance is not running again.
So this is like Governor DeSantis, who in Florida, he's a Florida governor, is saying
oh, I know
that
my mama can't stand him.
Is that he won't prosecute people who aren't wearing masks.
Correct.
Got
so
it.
Now we're talking about the issue of discretion.
So he's making that decision.
He's making that decision. And once he leaves office, that prosecution is still at play and it's up to the next person that assumes the role.
So it's not really a stride.
It is like, not. Right. It's not it's, as. Don't believe the hype, basically. I think it's great.
So you can still get arrested.
You can still get arrested. You will not be arrested under Cy Vance's administration. Now, I want to also give you some more good news, though. So far, all of the other candidates, and it's a lot of them, that are running to replace Cy Vance in DAs here in Manhattan, have all said they're going to go further than Cy Vance. Not only are they not going to prosecute the people selling sex work, per se, they're also not going to penalize or criminalize the purchasers of sex work. We refer to them as Johns in the business.
We sure do. Okay, we know about Johns.
Y'all know about Johns?
I just like the hookers at the point.
Well, in Urban Dictionary, we call them tricks.
Okay, but,
you know.
So right now, Cy says, if you buy sex, you can be prosecuted, even under Cy Vance. If you're selling sex, you cannot be.
Oh.
You will not be, I should say.
Oh.
All these new DAs are saying, fuck the bullshit. We want to fully decriminalize, that's a hard word to say, sex work, and we will not prosecute buyers nor sellers of sex, and they will support legislative efforts. So that's the key takeaway. If all this shit sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, bitch, get to the point. We need to keep the pressure on legislatively.
Okay.
We need the state assemblies and eventually federal legislators, so that's congressmen and women and U.S. senators, to decriminalize sex works. That's the only way it will be consistent across the board. No one ever will ever be arrested again for unlicensed massage, selling sex, or buying sex. And that's the goal. Because sex work is work. And fuck out of here.
Sure is,
bitch. Have you discussed that on your show?
Of course. Yeah, Dustin and I had a full episode.
No. Some of the women on Real Housewives are very conservative.
You're talking about on Real Housewives?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do your stance on that and saying sex work is real work, especially being on a show with entrepreneurs and wives and people who may look down on sex workers, is that a conversation that we can maybe see?
Lee is my castmate, and shout out to Lee McSweeney. That's like literally her tagline this year is sex positive, BS negative. So she's gotten a lot of shit from these women because she's very outspoken with her sexuality. She's
and with her daughter too.
Yes, all those things. So next episode or the week after, I think it's episode 4, Luann and I get into a conflict, we'll call it, around these notions of respectability politics and vulgarity and what kind of women should use what terms.
Like if you were too liberal for that arena.
Well, you'll see how the shit goes down. Because my thing is, it's so funny, actually, I'm glad we were talking about this because I know I present a certain way. And my aesthetic presents a certain way.
It looked like I want to propose to you right now with your little wifey ass.
Okay, she said you were giving what kind of
a lesbian? We still gonna need a prenup, bitch. I'm just fucking with you, baby. I'll take good care of you, girl. You might be taking care of me.
Only one of us had Louboutins on.
Whatever. Y'all coordinated.
I got on Adidas slides. She got on red bottoms and I'm talking about taking care of her.
But I'm on your show, so it's all good.
Thanks, girl.
It's all good, sisters. But yeah, so this notion of women that look a certain way, have a certain level of education, have a certain level of societal standing, shouldn't say these things or shouldn't speak in these ways or even shouldn't carry themselves in what I believe is, like, for instance, a lot of people are mad at me because I say the word bitch a lot. I curse a lot. I have a big potty mouth. And I'm hearing a lot of women, black, white, and other, to be such an educated young lady, it's a shame you choose to use that language. And here's what I say to that.
Wow. In your comments and stuff?
In my comments, in my DMs. And, it's like this. I respect your positioning, but get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Because I have earned the right to use whatever fucking vernacular I choose to.
I can
hit you with statutory, the fucking policy in Iran, what's going on with the nuclear deal and all of that. And I can cuss you the fuck out too.
Nuclear. But you know what I mean?
Like, we're not going to do is sit up here and
that's what I heard too. I said nuclear.
I also heard nuclear. I was like, okay.
But we're not going to shame women. And Leah and I really are. We don't fuck with that. We're not going to shame women around their choice of how they choose to carry themselves and make ignorant presumptions around their knowledge base based off of their choice to lean in or out of their vulgarity, sexuality, or anything
There's
else.
There's so much... sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just had to get that off my
There's
chest.
There's so much welcome with a mom like Leah. Like, I've seen people talk about her and her daughter when they TikTok together and they have fun together. And we both have very open moms and we've had them on our show. And I really feel like that's why I didn't get pregnant, right? Like, my mom was so open about sex.
I mean, we did, but... Then we had
shut up. I can't stand y'all.
We did. We took it out.
I can't stand. So I just saw
baby early.
So the meme I saw the other day, y'all. And normally I'm, you know, I have a ridiculous dry sense of humor. Not a lot shakes me. I was like, ooh, they really the internet for the win. I don't know who it was, y'all. It was somebody that was like, he's our baby daddy today too, bitch. Yeah, we just didn't keep the baby. I was like,
She posted it.
It might have been on your page. I was like, I'm done.
I felt bad. That is true.
You just kept it. I'm done.
I saw on Mother's Day, they were like, now, some of y'all, you can say Happy Mother's Day today.
Stop. Stop.
Okay, oh my God. Okay. Let me not be problematic because you're... but I was going to say, we were so open to be able to talk to our moms with things, get help. And I feel like, not saying that it would ever happen with Kiki, that's Leah's daughter's name. I'm just saying I could see them having such a better bond when it comes to when she does get into the age where she starts dating and different things. And I think it's so important.
I think it works that way. I think Gloria told me I was going straight to the hell. I mean, if there was any premarital
not straight
sex.
To the
and,
hell.
And it worked that way for me too. You know, so I think, and listen, I also think kids straight are really their own individuals. I think so much of it is just they're going to do what they're going to do. So I kind of think these extremes of parenting, I don't know. I'm not a parent yet. We'll see. My mother was
Sorry.
Oh, no, I can very much be like, I'm fuck them kids. Okay, as you'll get to in the essence piece.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to let y'all know it's already been a problematic episode. We get more problematic. Just stay tuned.
I don't think personally, Weezy, I don't know that there's a rhyme or reason. I think the whole being super open and come to me when you're ready to have sex and we'll go get the birth control and we'll, you know, I'll bring out the banana and teach you how to properly, what you call the joint?
Bitch, I still don't know how to put a condom on a dick.
Yeah,
I'd be like, here you go.
I had to pull the reservoir tip the other day, and he was like, "Ah!"
Oh my God!
I was like, "Oh, that gets scared."
You pissed the nigga?
Yeah, I did. Because it was big, and I know you need to leave the air. Yeah.
You do.
And then I don't think I did
want any spillage. Do you want any spillage?
But I was trying to be like hot and put it on, and then it just ruined it. He was like, "It's all right."
I will say what you just said. I'm so glad you brought forth to it because a little bit of that was how and why we started this show. We had met, for those of y'all who go back and maybe or aren't familiar with how we met after not speaking for about 5 years, but we were both in different spaces of our life. I was in school working for Goldman Sachs and she, you know, was an account exec for a tech company. And when we met, she also had a sugar daddy and I was still getting flued out. So we was like, damn, we're still smart. We read books. We have real good jobs and we're still being whores. Yes. And we felt that it was important that a lot of women, you know, despite whether you're in school getting a master's, a bachelor's or any type of education and working corporate or literally taking care of yourself, you can do so and be respected, but still indulge in the sexuality and things that you enjoy. And you can still be who you are.
I think in our age group, it may change too. Like, you know, Luanna, you just mentioned, is a lot older and we know she did her whole countess thing. And I think that the way the world has changed with being so modern and being so open, we will see that start to develop. Like,
yeah. I think the only difference is as we're talking about it. I mean, as Leah says in the trailer, which is accurate, they're all hoes. We're all like,
I know that's right.
I mean, no, it's true. You know, everyone's having a sexual experience of some sort, whether it's with yourself, whether it's with multiple partners.
What is the definition of a
hoe? Yeah, what are we even talking about? What the fuck is a whore? What is a hoe? Like, what, you know? That's such a loose term.
Is there a legal term?
We did a post.
It's a legal term for prostitution.
Okay.
We did a post. God, I think I did this 3 years ago because someone like hurt my feelings with something. And I was like, why did they call me that? And I was like, why is it hurting when someone else calls me that, but not when we say it to
each other? Bitch, promiscuous. We got into a whole fight because I called her promiscuous. She said, I am not. I said, bitch, you just said you got nutted in and went to another nigga to eat it off or something.
Oh my God, Mandy.
What you did.
But I loved them. Okay,
so she thought because there were feelings for these men that
so
she
promiscuous
wasn't.
Promiscuous says there was in the definition.
Oh, yeah.
When we looked it up, it said something about feelings. With no care or no emotion or something.
I'm glad you guys brought this up. Now I'm thinking about it. You know, Auntie E's a little older. excuse me, we get into a serious debate on this season of Housewives in this Hamptons arc about what friends with benefits means. And you guys are going to see this. So it's like, it's Sonya and Lou, and I put my two cents out there. And I just don't believe in sex shaming other women. Like, if this woman wants to have sex, whoever, whatever, and that is her comfort, fuck, mind your business. You know what I mean? Like, that is, and like for Sonya, as you'll see, her friends with benefits, she'll have her friends with benefits for 10 years.
Oh, that's me. Wow.
You know what I mean? That's me. Yeah, they're not in a relationship, but they have a sexual compatibility.
And thank it's just, you. I love it. That's me. Yeah. That was me.
We all need somebody to call. Yeah.
Well, and I fucked, like, I was still up until this current relationship.
Right.
I was fucking men that I was fucking in high school.
Right.
Like,
that's so crazy to me.
And she can't believe it. But it's niggas that, like, from 10 years ago, like, and mind you, like, I just turned 30. So,
oh, yeah,
and I've been with my man. Yeah. You know, I've been.
Why
yeah. it.
She took that body weight and said, I'm very much
auntie.
Yes.
Oh, but I love it.
But the what is a hoe?
What
it had 400 comments of people so confused.
Yeah.
Some people said prostitute. Someone said selling sex. Someone said a girl who's loose. Someone who's the. And it was like, we really don't know. And I think the reclaiming of that word, which is funny when she said you're all hoes, is no one really knows what it
means. And there are a lot of hoes that just don't present as hoes. I mean,
like,
can we tell the truth?
I'm so mad.
Yeah.
But, like, you present as such, like, girl, let me get on one knee right now. And I just never.
But if I wasn't having sex and there wasn't an aura of sexual prowess to me, nobody would actually want to marry me. Do you get that, Mandy? Nobody wants to be in a sexless marriage.
Yes,
and when you start dating older men, I don't know how the oldest. What's the oldest man you've ever dated?
My man right now.
How old is he?
47.
How old is the oldest man?
43.
Okay. I've dated, the oldest man I've ever dated is 58.
Okay.
And
well, that's real old.
But I'm older than you. I'm almost 10 years older than you. Oh, you got to remember.
Okay.
So therefore.
Same gap that we
same
have.
Same gap. Right.
I have a 17-year gap.
So
yeah.
When you're talking about men who are in their later 50s, who are mostly coming out of their first or second marriage, most of them are divorcing their first wives because they weren't having sex with them.
Oh, no.
And they're traumatized from these sexless fucking marriages.
Oh, bitch, it ain't sexless because I fucked with mad married niggas. They was getting sex
but
from
not
me.
From their wives.
Oh, yeah, fat.
That is so fucking hilarious.
Not from their wives.
But they was getting sex from me,
so
bitch.
So that's the number one thing I find that these older men are looking for. They are looking for a sexually active, fluid relationship.
I mean, and look at the sugar daddy dynamics.
Yeah,
right?
They want you to only be having sex with them, but they want a lot of sex.
You
that's
know what's
been
crazy? I feel like a lot of men want women because they also have checked boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, and I talked about this on the show, I went out with a friend of mine, and it was me and two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally sat there and said, because of the shapes of our bodies and what we exude, he doesn't feel like he could bring me home. But the other girl, who, mind you, my homegirl had all the sugar daddies and was super selling the box. She has a more, I guess, persona that doesn't read sex or that. And so this has been a conversation as well where men want to tick off and feel like they can bring their woman around their family or to church or different things because it looks good. Mm-hmm. But yet, they're not fulfilled.
Right.
I think a lot of men
pick their first wives based on that shit. They're picking somebody that is aesthetically pleasing to everybody but them.
And then the second time, you need a little hoe.
I'm glad we're laying the foundation for what we're about to get into.
You know, I actually had a thought of something a friend sent to me when we were talking about what is a hoe. Shout out to Brittany. We were going out that night on FaceTime with some dude I'm talking to, just one of the niggas. And she was like, "Ooh, you know, we about to go be hoes." And he was like, "What the fuck does that mean?" And she was like, "It don't mean we really gonna be home. It just mean we gonna have hoe energy. We gonna be twerking and shit. We gonna be talking to niggas. Then we gonna go home.
You be making out with your friends?
No.
Because you know I do that.
No, I fuck my friends.
I fuck my friends.
I fuck women that I want to. Like, I don't like, you know, I don't like doing that line.
Oh.
Why?
I just want to
know. But no, like, I do agree. You can go out and be like, oh, we're going to go be hoes tonight. But you're really not hoeing.
But see, no, that is where you have your own definition. When I told my man I was out with my friend and then I spent the night, he knew we fucked. And I didn't tell him, but he was like.
Does he consider that cheating? If you have sex with a woman?
Does that mean you being a hoe though?
I mean, I had sex.
When I say I'm going to go be a hoe, it means I'm going to the club and I'm going to be on some bird shit. You're going to look at my story. It's going to be like, ah! That's what it looks like.
That's a hoe? Say, ah!
When I say I'm going to be a hoe, like, I'm out, bro.
Oh.
See, I think it's just a difference in age because I got to go back to there because I, like, in school, in law school, like, there are people that, you know, see me now and see my career and they're like, wow, I can't believe it's the same Ebony. And I've always been the same way. It's just, A bitch is tired. You know, I was doing all that, but you talking about dancing on the table.
A bitch is
come
tired.
And talk to me. I really want to know. Yo, yeah, all of that. 15, 20 years ago. You know, seriously, when I was 22.
I'm jealous.
When
you had Freaknik then, huh?
You know, I just barely missed the window for Freaknik.
Okay. You might not have made it through college if you really took it. Think about it.
No, I had a good ass time in college.
No, I'm saying really if you really would engage in the Freaknik, who knows?
Oh, the
would
actual
happen.
Freaknik in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. But I had enough Great Hall parties.
I was about to say, you had New York at its prime. I'm
no,
jealous.
But I wasn't in New York. No, I was in the South.
Are you
I was at UNC. Yeah,
you
I'm at UNC
like
Chapel Hill.
Excuse me? You're a Tar Heel?
I'm a Tar Heel.
Go Duke! Let's go Blue Devils!
But you didn't really go there, though.
No, but I'm a Duke fan.
But see, nobody that's a bitch a Duke fan actually went to Duke.
Hold on,
get
bitch.
The fuck out
bitch,
of here, Mandy.
I couldn't afford it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so go ahead and buy that stankin'-ass Duke t-shirt at the Walmart and keep it cute, Mandy. Get the fuck out of here.
Actually, we know, Mandy. They gave you a tour.
Wait a second. Every single... I
didn't think I was going to get mad in here today.
I did get a tour. I did get a tour, but... Listen, every time I have a layover in the Charlotte airport, that's where I get my Duke attire.
Okay, and just anybody that's been, the Duke section's this fucking big.
We're not going to
okay,
do
and the Tar Heel shit is like
bro,
this.
My good sis just said, not Walmart, the airport. As if it was a step up.
All right, get the fuck out of here.
No. All
right, go ahead. Let's get into our hors d'oeuvre before we get into our horrible decision. So the hors d'oeuvre, I want to ask both of y'all. I wanted to give tips today on how to be intimate with your partners without penetration. I know there's a lot of women who, we talked about sex almost being a duty, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in terms of marriages, but what act, physically or emotionally, have you done with your partner that is still intimate but does not include penetration? I want to start, or you can start. Wait, because you got one?
I got an idea.
Go ahead, Ebony. Let's start with you,
miss. I'll be slow thinking sometimes, but it came to me. I guess synchronized masturbation.
Oh, you
my fave.
Look, here we go. Oh, look.
It was new for me in my last relationship, and I thought it was very cool.
Was it when you guys retired? Or was
no,
it
no, it was honestly it was when we wanted to be like extra nasty.
Yeah, no, for sure. It is.
Yeah.
I feel like
everyone's like, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Right?
So it's like I wanted to be a porn star. It was me trying to like let out my porn star energy.
When you did that,
we don't see it, but I believe it's there.
Were y'all watching?
Yeah, really? You still don't see it?
Oh, no, bitch. I see it. And I'm like, ooh.
I see it from the side.
We're going to get margaritas right, after, right? Right, sis.
Right.
I'll let you go home, I promise.
Listen. Oh. Well, not
any. Come and talk to me.
Añejo. That's the name of the restaurant I like.
Añejo.
Oh, I love Añejo. Oh, well, that's where we're going?
Yes.
Hell's Kitchen. That's my shit.
I did want to say something that I've recently been doing.
You would
so,
be going to Añejo.
Añejo, you know what I mean?
Añejo.
So something that me and my partner do, and I think that, you know, so I've been recently taking bar. So I'm doing bar.
Bar.
Oh my God. It's like yoga, but with like a ballet
oh,
shit. Okay.
Oh, that B-A-R-R-E.
B-A-R-R-E.
Yep, got it. Got it.
Bitch, my body hurt, baby. But I'm like, I've just been like, been
working
over
on your
a little
flexibility.
Slower since I entered my 30s.
A lot of flexibility.
No, so I'm working on my flexibility. So I'm doing bar and then I do cardio as well. And something that I really appreciate that he does that doesn't include penetration, he lays me on top of him. And he literally stretches my whole body.
Mm.
So I'll be on top of him and he pulls my legs all the way back and stretches that.
That's a good
then he'll
stretch.
Take my arms and pull them all the way back. And so as I'm on top of him.
Is it your after workout thing?
This is in the morning after sex. This is also just when we're just laying down. And he's like, let me just stretch you. And it's something that is just like, I feel so good. Like I literally moan while he does it.
Oh yeah.
But it's like, he knows I've been working out and he even is like, let me come down to your gym and make sure you're doing the right shit. Cause I don't need you losing certain things that I like that's there. Mm-hmm. But he knows I've been working out and I just, you know, and he'll just stretch me. And so I lay on top of him and he just, you know, he's athletic. So I'm sure he knows these little athlete.
How long
stretches.
You been with this guy, Mandy?
A little over a year now.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
No, and cool. It's been great, but he loves that I'm getting now back into just being more active and he just stretches me. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never had a person
a
stretch me.
She never had a trainer.
Is he a trainer?
I mean, bitch, hold on. I used to fuck Wilhelmina models and trainers.
She said,
bitch.
I never had someone stretch. I'm like, this is training one on one.
But in a way where we're not in a gym, we're not on the field.
Right.
And it's just like, it's he's like, intimate. Come here.
Definitely be sexy too.
Oh my God, it's so
sexy. I'm going to tell you, when I get stretched out, shout out to my trainer, Gino, who really has a brotherly vibe to me. We've been friends for a long time. But every time he stressed me, I'd be like, don't look at him in the eye.
Oh my goodness.
He's just beautiful.
You turned on? Sexy guy.
And also stretching is so sexual.
It is very sensual.
And by the way, anyone who ever uses services, like, this is a totally professional person. But I think in my head, stretching is so sexual.
I think massages are sexual.
Hell, the right one.
Oh, bitch.
The right one.
The way I be massaging my nigga, he be like, okay. So I go lower back, then I go like hips.
Yeah.
And then when I get them cheeks and I start spreading them, I start, my thumb be going in the butt crack.
Let's get to the okay. Andy hands for you. All
right. I'm just saying, I love massaging a butt crack. All right. Welcome now, guys, to the horrible decision. Here, I did want to talk about, clearly, again, we've talked about you looking like a wife. You've been engaged. You've been married. I wanted to talk about the rules of, or maybe the duties of a housewife and compare it to the modern day woman. Mm-hmm. But also, what we expect. And something that I did want to bring up, I guess before we start there, there is a negative connotation currently with housewife. You are a lawyer. You have all of these brands and platforms now. You would be considered a modern day woman, which Kevin Samuels actually says is our downfall a lot, is that the modern day woman is not prepared to be a wife because we're so overly independent.
How is Kevin? I've listened to some Kevin Samuels.
Don't even acknowledge
him. I'm just saying it's an interesting.
Right. It's an interesting catalyst for a deeper, more important conversation.
I think it really triggered how he talks to girls. I'm very serious.
It's awful.
So I find some of it funny. But I don't listen to a ton of Kevin's, because I do think sometimes he be right about some of these women's expectations.
He do be right a little bit.
Yeah.
The expectations, like, I get it, but I don't think that anybody, especially that looks the way that he does, can get on anyone's internet and tell women about
their
attraction.
But
they ask him,
Weezy.
They're asking. Wait. It's the same way
but he's mean, and now it's a spectacle, and now he's able to make money from demeaning black girls.
Weezy, it's the same way we said no one in this room listens to Steve Harvey.
Right.
But a
people
lot of
do.
Women do.
And he does demean black men, too. When they call to on the book, like, he had this one dude on there. It didn't matter. But he'll do this. I do think he's equal opportunity. Like, dude, you're like 5'6", you're overweight.
He'd be like,
you make $40,000 a year, and you're talking about you want a 10. Bro, where? You know, right. How?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, as a woman who is, I would consider, despite you being auntie-age, like you said, you are a modern day woman.
Thank you.
You own businesses and you're growing. There's no ceiling to what you can do either. However, you do still have a lot of powerful, wealthy men, which is what I think a lot of us seek, who want the housewife, who don't want you to do anything. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit before we get into, as well, your positioning in men's lives.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
I think it's a real conflict of interest is the best way to describe it. Because you're right. I think I still think, but I'm open to being corrected on this, that the answer, because before my ex-fiance, all the men I dated, I was the breadwinner, like, significantly so. And that was fine because, you know, whatever, like
you
said.
Oh, you were the sugar mama, okay.
I was kind of a sugar mama, like making two, three times what they made. And that was fine. Just because my go hard was...
When you make a lot of money and you're in a certain bracket, though, like...
It's hard. Dudes were working, you know, bullshit jobs. It's just they were in different fields. You know, right. I was at a firm.
You gotta remember, doctors are only making like one... Some doctors only make 150. Like,
look at you. Can you not say 150 like that ain't shit?
I'm just... No,
people listening.
For a doctor, that's not shit.
It's not shit when you have $300,000 worth of bills. That's what I mean. School debt. Yeah.
I'm sorry. When I was younger, and I used to think they made millions.
I did too.
I'm in shock at what doctors make.
I agree.
My friend's Dr. Boo make millions, but he owns his own firm.
Well, good for him.
And it's like lawyers. I know $40,000 a year lawyers.
True.
I know $15 million a year lawyers.
True.
So, and same with doctors. You're right, sis. It's like some do make 150. And some make 3, 4, 10 million because they're surgeons, they're cardiovascular,
I'm not shitting on someone making 150. It is really that pay is way too low for that job.
And that pay is, can we just be honest? That is a hard way to live in New York City if you're accustomed to a certain lifestyle. And I'm just going to say that. That's a fact. So, whatever. Back to the men with money.
Yes.
A lot of them say that they want a Claire Huxtable type. They want a Michelle Obama. They want somebody that's going out here getting it like they're getting it. But they do not really want that, has been my experience, because they do expect you to get in where you fit in to a life that they have already curated. From them deciding where y'all are going to live, where y'all are going to go to vacation, where, how the bills are, just whatever.
They want to be in control.
They do want to be in control, but they don't. And they say they want a partner. And I think you can control some women willingly. I don't think that's a bad thing. I want to be very clear here.
I like it a little bit.
There are plenty of women that like it a lot. Some women like it because they don't have another way to live that lifestyle. Let's just tell the truth and shame the devil.
I feel like I'm too busy to make decisions. I love when a man tells me what I'm about to do.
That's a different thing though, Weezy. Yeah, what you're talking about is
for the access.
Correct.
I apologize.
You're talking about an optionality portion. I'm talking about women that are dependent on that man's ability to curate a lifestyle they would never otherwise even have access to. And I think that those men that want that should be with those kind of women. Leah and I have actually been talking about this. She's going to be mad. But Leah and I have been talking about this recently. Some of these men that we're being set up with through these, you know, wealthy socialite friends of ours. We go out with these men and these men are fucking confused about their market value. These are men that make a little bit of change. They might have a little house in Greenwich. They might drive a four-door Audi and they out here thinking they balling out of control. And they really think that women like us who make our own significant means
are going to be
like, oh my God, let me suck your dick. I don't give a fuck. Like, what? What? Yeah. Like, no.
Do you think that is from what life was like? Maybe a certain... I really think it must be like... I don't know if I've seen this many women entrepreneurs 5-10 years ago.
No, you haven't.
I've also talked about the amount of money I make with some people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they won't believe it. Or I was on a date drink thing kind of with this guy who was saying something about me needing to have a partner, like, oh, you know, when you guys get a summer home. I said, honey, I've been looking at property in Miami already.
Right.
Why would I not be able to have one alone?
That's my point.
You were talking about getting a crib in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't we be able to do
this? They're very confused because there was a general, not too long ago, let's be clear, where women of all races, but particularly women of color, would never have had the financial access that we enjoy because we've worked for it, to be clear.
Right.
But they're not accustomed to it. So they really are out here. Most of them come out of a first or second marriage, and they're thinking that they got monopoly money to spend. And they think that they're supposed to get a baddie with a great job, and that we're supposed to be oh so excited about their mediocre ass life.
But that's the thing, too. It's the idea of being excited about... Mm-hmm. money, cars, homes that essentially I don't have access to. So you think that I'm supposed to fawn over you because these are the things you have, but they're not things that are mine that you're giving to me. And so
sometimes I guess in some ways it's a
way. But that used to be the goal though, Mandy.
Yeah,
and again, everything's different now. A generation ago, that would be yours. That's what women were marrying for. They were marrying to say, I can't afford a summer home by myself. Ever, but if I marry this man,
I'm gonna have you.
I'll be on the
But then
beam.
You can't even. Let's build on the control part for a moment. Yeah. You have an Essence article that came out that could make you look controlling.
Oh yes, people are saying.
let me read the headline because we had this conversation
and selfish. Don't forget selfish.
So guys, there has been for those of you who are not hip on what's happening with Real Housewives of New York. Though Ebony is on there, she did call off her engagement, so she is not currently tied to anyone, which is why she said she's being set up. But Essence wrote an article and says that the Real Housewives of New York newbie understands that kids come first. However, she says that she needed to be first. So the article pretty much paints the picture that you called off your engagement because this man chose his kids over you.
Yes.
Now, there is a lot of dialogue with that, especially when you're dating older men. Yes. You're coming into oftentimes them having a previous family.
Yes.
You possibly having to address the ex-wife or ex-baby mom or, you know, the baby mother, period.
Yeah.
Can you go into that a little bit? Because that is a little problematic. Just a little bit.
I totally respect it. I respect everybody's opinion that the kids should come first and da da da. I actually divinely disagree with that. And I know that I have an unpopular minority opinion.
Share, bitch.
Yes. I believe in the divine order. I believe it's God, spouse, kids. I don't give a fuck whose kids they are. I don't care if they're our kids we brought into the world together. I don't care if they're the kids you had with your ex-wife, your baby mama, or three mamas ago. I truly believe that is a fundamental problem in American society today. I think all these fucking, I feel like fuck these kids. I feel like all these kids are out here being treated, many of them, as if they are the center of the universe, as if their desires and their expectations of life and family are the primary priority. And I think it's really fucking these kids up. I think there's a place for children in society. And I think it is really to be at the guidance and foundational subordination of the adults in the family. I think there's kids and there's adults. And I believe that any man that is to be my husband has to make me his primary partner and priority. And we together. And don't pick me if you don't trust my judgment to build a beautiful, safe, and loving family for you and your children. If you don't believe in my ability to do that, I shouldn't be your wife anyway.
Because you're saying you would have accepted those kids into your home in that regard?
Okay, let's talk about these kids. Okay, first of all, these kids were 20, 18, and 13.
Okay.
So two of them were young adults.
Right.
Okay. So that's important. I was going to say
13, I understand.
13 is fine, but two of them were 20 and 18. So where I come from, I've been out of the house at 16.
I was out of the house at 18.
I was out of the house at 16.
Oh.
I was at the great University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Mandy, at 16. Okay.
Oh, damn. You real smart. Bitch, you real smart.
Leaning with the mic again.
Again.
Shout out to the Tar Heels.
We're going to bleep that out.
Yeah,
Keep that in the edit.
So again, I know that this is not customary, my feelings about it. And I just believe that the way I'm able to navigate space as an adult, as an entrepreneur, as a strong businesswoman, as a strong woman, confidence in my blackness and femininity at the same damn time is because I was raised by a strong adult. And I just think a lot of these parents out here are fucking punks. I really do. And I think they let these kids run over them. The kids are running the households and the parents, husbands, wives, mothers and fathers are really at the they're deferring to children's leadership within the home. And I think it's a problem.
Was he quarantined with their mother as well?
No, they're rich. So these people all have different houses. Okay, so their mother is married, been married for 10 years to a wonderful man. So they have a huge house in New Jersey. My ex-fiance has another huge house in New Jersey in addition to the house that we shared together in Tribeca.
Okay.
There's a lot of houses. He chose to quarantine in Tribeca, in one of the New Jersey houses without me.
And when you say quarantine, this isn't 10 days. This is
the duration. He came in the room with a backpack on and said, I'm going to Jersey because Cuomo and them saying it's going to be a lockdown and I won't be able, because that's what we had done and it had worked.
Right.
Back and forth. Of course, back and forth. Of course, I would never stand in the way of a man. That's why I don't like the way those articles were written.
Right.
Implying that I would ever, ever put myself in front of a man and his children. That's ridiculous. I would never have the audacity to do that. I will tap out before I do that.
Of course.
So he had successfully up until that point managed being with his kids every Wednesday night, being with his kids pretty much every weekend, because he's just a very active father. Not every other. He was every weekend and it was never a problem. But when the quarantine hit, he went in March and I didn't really see him back in the city until August.
Oh, hell no.
I'm sorry. What?
Nigga, excuse me?
Wait.
Not the adjustment of the seat. Yes.
Now.
Let's get into it.
Were you not invited?
I was invited.
Did he want you to stay? Was he just saying come by? Or did he not say, hey, this is the decision I'm going to make. Let's come. Do this together.
Okay, let me just tell y'all the full truth.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. March to August? No way.
He wanted me to come and stay permanently with them in New Jersey during the quarantine. And in a perfect world, ladies, who wouldn't want to share that time with their soon-to-be husband? We were actually planning a wedding. And their soon-to-be stepkids.
Right.
Goes back to what I was just talking about, leadership. My ex-fiance, wonderful man, still love him to this day. Not in love with him, but love him as a good-ass man. We had a fundamental different value system as it relates to children's positioning in the home.
Mm.
To me, his oldest children, not the 13-year-old, he was never the problem, sweet little boy. The oldest children ran the household. And he did not curate, my ex-fiance did not curate a safe, comfortable environment in that home to where I was comfortable as a grown ass woman who still had to work. I was still doing State of the Culture, launching Holding Court, all this shit for house. I couldn't live there. And because my ex-fiance, love him to death, he didn't curate an environment where I could be there with them, I had to select myself. And I don't have any other family. I don't have no cousins. I don't have, like, I don't have that. I don't have any siblings. My mom is in New Orleans. I had to be in New York for work. So I was by myself. I got COVID. I was sick for 6-8 weeks, moderately so.
Oh, shit. I mean, I see him. Positive.
No, no, no. I had symptoms. I was fucked up for like 6-8 weeks.
Ooh. By yourself?
By myself.
Oh, yeah, nah.
By myself.
Yeah, nah. Ooh. Yeah, no.
He didn't send no soup. He didn't send no nurse.
No.
He didn't send anything because I get it. He was mad.
I had a stomach virus and this nigga came over and bathed me.
Yeah. So for those reasons, I'm not trying to make him look like a bad person. He's not. He just is a fundamentally different belief system. He believes that his children are his family and he never saw me as family. And that's the deeper issue. So I'm not going to enter a whole fucking marriage with a spouse that doesn't identify me as family.
I think that she really put
that these questions
well.
Conversations that were had early?
No.
Like, as far as values, do you feel like women should ask these questions prior? Like, how early should these conversations be had then?
I'm really glad we're talking about this. And I hope people can learn from it because I learned a lot. So this is where he's definitely not a bad guy. He wasn't looking for a wife. Let me give him that credit. He did not. He knew his kids were still growing up because when I met him, his kids were, I think, like 16, 14 and 9. Right. So he wasn't looking for a wife. He wasn't looking to make anyone other than his children his priority. So he's not in the wrong here. I want to be very clear about that. At the time, I was on some Oprah shit. As I said in the first episode of Roni, I wasn't looking for no husband. Every man I'd ever met before him slowed me the fuck down.
I know, that's right.
Costing shit, liabilities in every fucking way. So I wasn't looking for a husband or wanting children either. I grew to deeply, deeply love this man, y'all. And seeing him be the father that he is to his kids made me aspire to that relationship. I was like, damn, this is some special love. This is some beautiful shit. Maybe I do want this. So what happened in short, Mandy, what we wanted changed. What I wanted changed. I decided in the course of the 4-year relationship, I do want to be a wife.
My opinion of you changed. Yeah. When I read the article, I was like, they must have misconstrued her words. Then when you started speaking, I was like, oh, she really means this bullshit.
I really do.
And then until the end,
it made
me realize, oh, because you're right. Absolutely right. As women, we should put our work and our career first. With Obe, who I date, he's a VP at a huge financial entity. He's a great black man. And now he's completely offloaded at that tier to work wherever he wants. So he's like, we're still living in Mexico. Let's live in Mexico.
Yeah.
Let's do Mexico City. Let's keep doing Tulum. We'll get a crib here. And
I remember this conversation.
I'm like, well, now, I mean, I have a job offer that's got me back and forth to LA, salaried again. Mm-hmm. I've got a studio here, just got the second one. Like, I'm not leaving. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. 30.
Yeah.
You know, you're in your 40s, you're feeling like you're setting this. Like, if I move with all this shit running, I hold myself back.
Well, see, so let's put a pin in that. Because I had a career opportunity come to me maybe year 2 of our relationship. And this is where I started to push for marriage. I need to know, motherfucker, are you my family? Because before I pass up on this LA big time 7-figure job.
Right.
Are you my family? Because if you're my family, this is why I'm old fashioned. Fuck that job. If you're my family, fuck that job. You're my priority. This is why being number one mutually is important.
Mm.
Okay? And this is why I hold true to this standard and nobody's going to get me off it. So you can call me a selfish bitch, a raggedy bitch, a not understanding bitch, whatever. I'll be all of that. But we have to be family to each other and we have to be each other's priority because if you're not willing to make me your family and your priority, now I have to take that job.
Mm.
Because I'm not your number one. How the fuck you look like me
and mine? When I tell you, you are a modern day woman. And that's, I think, what a lot of women listening to this pod.
We all want to be Ebony.
We do.
y'all was talking, bitch, shit. Just a minute. I'm just kidding.
No, I love y'all. I was like, this bitch is
crazy. No, I know. And that's fair.
And I really hope that people are
able. That has to be the name of this episode, by the way.
Fuck them kids. I really hope
that. Ebony Williams Esquire.
Right. The most raggedy bitch God ever made. Fuck her ovaries, too.
I hope that people are able to get to this point in the conversation because we get a lot of comments where they're like, oh my God, I wasn't even able to finish because your guest said that crazy shit.
Right.
And like even Weezy said, I was like, oh, this bitch really gonna lip die on this heel on this
pod. Right,
finally. I was like...
Bitch, I think that was the most sweet of never let a guest talk without interrupting. Like, bitch, and keep going.
Right. Explain yourself.
Maybe this is going to go somewhere.
That was great. Also, I will say, it got me really wanting to binge Holding Court. What is Holding Court about? Because you've got Dustin. He's so fun.
Yes, so talented and funny and hysterical.
How do you guys blend the show together?
And if he ever is in the marketplace for some vagina. I just want y'all all to know. I'm first in line. I cut a deal. I cut a side deal,
girl,
bitch.
You cut a side deal. You must not know about our deal. So, no.
Let me get
you on tier 1B. I might be.
That's probably facts. Precedence.
Precedence. We should ask Dustin, what is his type if he had to?
I don't know that Dustin, I've never asked him. I don't know that he's gold star. No, I don't know that he's never had a woman.
I don't think he
has it?
That's just
think he's
fantasy.
Gold star?
Look at us. We talking
that's
about...
That's my fantasy. Let me not talk about somebody's sexuality.
I just know that he pulls all the niggas. We have the same type of niggas. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I'll be like, damn.
I'm going to ask him after this podcast.
What
are you
is
gold
your girl
star?
Type?
Yeah, do you have a girl type?
Do you?
I met Dustin.
You? Oh, look. I'm so asking.
I love you too, Ebony. I still want to fuck Dustin more.
Oh, well.
I will tell you, I actually made a comment about that once, and I read some reviews about how they were like, how uncomfortable do you think it is for a gay man to constantly hear when it's so hard to live in his world that you guys want to fuck him? And I was like, yo, it's a show about sex and I'm sorry.
Is it hard for him?
It's probably annoying.
It's probably annoying.
I think it's annoying.
Yeah, it's probably annoying. Sorry.
I mean, but I think also I've walked
Can you imagine being so sexy?
I was about to say, that we can't help it. He demands, like, I've walked in rooms and me and Carla, we went to a club with Dustin one time. And we just looked, we was like, oh, Dustin, we know you ain't shit. The way the men, like, people just...
I'm not going nowhere with Dustin.
Yeah, no,
man.
I'm up in hell.
Dustin is a very kind person.
He is.
And he radiates a very welcoming energy.
Energy. Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really the most exciting thing about that person.
Totally.
When you meet people that just welcome you in anything. I've seen Dustin a few times this summer during quarantine and... I've seen a lot of people that I recognize in the industry. And Dustin is one of the only ones that will always speak to me, hug me, be kind to me. And if a fan comes up to him, be just as warm.
Yeah.
As if you are a friend.
Yeah, yeah. With being on Black Effect, was that something curated through Black Effect? Or did you have a relationship with Dustin and say, I want him on?
I didn't know Dustin from a can of paint. What happened was I was already curating Holding Court. Pre-Black Effect. And Charlamagne, you know, we'd been in talks for years, but whatever. I was like, call me when the shit is real. Bye, Charlamagne.
right?
And to his credit, did he?
Did you get the Fox Soul call too?
Yes, all the calls.
His people on.
All the calls.
Shout out to Charlamagne.
Shout out to Charlamagne. And he did, to his credit. And so by that point, I was already going to launch independent and come out of pocket. You know the vibes.
Girl.
but anyways, it made sense. So I was already looking for a co-host, Weezy, before the Black Effect deal materialized. And my shout out to my dear friend and soror, Natalie Robinson, who's in the first episode of Real Housewives of New York. She's like my age, actually a little bit older, but she's with the shits. Like she keeps her finger on the pulse, you know.
Okay.
I'm on my auntie status. She's like, girl, did you see this TikTok? I'm like, hell no, bitch, I ain't got no TikTok. So I called her. I was like, I said, I want extremely smart, extremely funny, because, you know, I can skew serious. I want younger than me, which is hilarious because Dustin's not. I was like, and I don't care about sexuality. Just make him look good, though, because at some point I want to take this show on the road and I make no apologies. At some point I want to do concerts.
Make him look good.
Yeah, I need an attractive man. I don't want no ugly fucking man. And Dustin Ross was the first name she sent me. She sent me like 15 and I clicked on Dustin's IG and I called him immediately and I never talked to anybody else since.
Nice.
Aww. Shout out to Dustin.
What day does your show come on?
We drop Wednesdays. We drop every Wednesday.
So y'all got
everything.
Two days.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Y'all need to come in. We need video.
Well, I know. Yeah. We're going to come share some space.
Because you look good. Dustin look good.
I know.
It might be something people watch on mute just to take it in.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Sorry. My bad.
Just to jack off.
I mean, is that the threshold of this episode? Jack off?
It's funny when I start to get a lot. Mandy, where does my modesty come in?
Right. I was like.
And what day is your show come on TV?
Okay, Real Housewives of New York comes on Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., only on Bravo.
That's right. Check out our sister Ebony. I know we were talking about not having other podcasters on for a while.
By the way, and we didn't, but I was like, nah, but Ebony going to come on and then no other podcasters.
No, we really sold Black Effect. Ebony and that's it.
I love y'all. Thank you. I'm really, really glad I came on. I'm glad you guys gave me the space to talk about my truth because people mad as fucked in the streets.
But the way you explained it, I'm glad that you...
And That's for me. I'm not saying no other woman or man has to apply that standard. I learned an important lesson, and that's why with my current matchmaker, I don't want nobody with no kids that's not grown. Because
but you got a matchmaker. You know, we got to do part two, goddammit.
Yeah. We do. Oh, yeah. Bring the matchmaker on.
Could the matchmaker come on with you?
Oh, bitch,
we got to do that.
Y'all actually know the matchmaker, probably. Like, y'all know that, like, there's, you know, levels, but, like, the matchmaker, y'all know.
Oh, shit.
Oh, bitch, we got
to. Yeah, we'll come back.
Go to patreon.com. Enjoy the 5-minute clip.
Yes. Thank y'all for tuning in to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
The Chovy.
What the fuck is a Chovy?
It's like an hourly hotel in Miami.
But it's like a sex hotel. There's like mirrors on the ceiling. There's like poles in the room. It's so fucking gross, but it gets the job done.
How much was it?
$40, $50 It depends what tiers. Like, you know, the nicest room is like $70 an hour. Yeah.
No, not even less than that, bro. Like, the nicest is like 80, I would say, for like 4 hours or some shit like that.
Y'all met there.
Yeah, it's like dumb.
Nah.
He picked me up from my house and we got Wingstop.
So we met at Wingstop somewhere. And then.
That's such a nigga ass story. We met at a Wingstop and then we started fucking. Oh, y'all niggas from Florida for real. Okay, bitch.
Bro, fuck at night.
So hold on. So y'all meet and go to a Chobi. That's what it's called, right?
The Chobi. It's on Okeechobee. The hotel's called Executive Hotel or like Executive Palace or whatever.
Okay.
It's just, Amy, we call it the Chobee because it's on Okeechobee.
Oh, I'm definitely posting Executive Palace. Yeah. So you guys meet there. This is a year ago. And yeah, were either of you doing OnlyFans type content?
No.
We didn't start doing OF till like 9 months.
So once you fell in love.
Yeah.
No. So
that's kind of like that with the because the friend we met, we were like, all right, knock out everything we want to do now. You know, just get it out the way before we catch feelings and then like figure it out later. But then the exact opposite happened. It was like 7 months of us talking, getting to know each other. And then once we like realized, all right, you're not going nowhere, I'm not going anywhere, like let's like actually get into it type thing.
What about so my first time like seeing Allie again, I was on Twitter and this girl accidentally posted a picture of her boyfriend's dick. Did y'all have OnlyFans before her or after that?
I think he had his OnlyFans and he had like a couple of dick pics up. It wasn't until like way after he started taking it. He's like, all right, well, do you want to do this with me? And I'm like, yeah.
What? So you start doing an OnlyFans. Tell me what happens when the first person that y'all know, whether it's like family or a friend, is like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It hasn't happened yet.
Does your mom know?
It is like not a surprise for a lot of my friends, but it's pretty on brand.
For my close friends, like from people that I know from high school that I'm actually really close with, they're surprised. They're like, we saw it coming.
You look like you guys. We couldn't expect those titties to stay in your top. Now, how much time do you dedicate to an OnlyFans profile? Like, how much time do you actually need to put into making sure that it's worth it? Like, because at some point you had a regular job.
It's a daily job. Like, just as far, I mean, I know just some friends. I know some people, they set out days. We haven't got to that point where we're like, okay, well, this is too overwhelming. We need to set days to do this. Kind of just like, all right, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Let's just go check OnlyFans. Like, as far as like shooting and whatnot, there's no schedule. We kind of just if we're
in it, yeah. But we're still like a trial and error process, like just like understanding what we want in there and what we don't and shit like that, like. Working with people or if like we're just trying to keep threesomes exclusively for us kind of thing. So it's like a back and forth of just, you know, trying to see like what we like to do or like how we like to spend our time like with.
Do you notice that the sex is different when you're doing OnlyFans sex versus like other like your personal sex? Like tell us that.
Our sex. No, there's no difference.
Really?
that's what I like telling people, like, if we didn't have an OnlyFans, we would still have as many videos in our phone.
You're like, we gotta offload this shit to a cloud.
When we started our OnlyFans, it was just old videos from like when we first started talking.
That shit was like in the 200s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was bad.